Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. It is a great pleasure for me to address you through this online media. I cannot see you, but I assume you are there. And in my mind's eye, I am counting all of you or greeting all of you. That's better. I greet you affectionately. We have been together for many years, in some cases, for centuries or even 20, 30 years. And we have gone through our Krishna conscious life as pilgrims on the same path. We have gone through good times, we have gone through times when there were not so many of us traveling on the road. We have hopefully been able to encourage each other on our way, on our path, and like human beings do, we have also committed flaws, there have been misunderstandings. But the fact that we are all still walking on the path of Krishna consciousness and that we feel happiness in our hearts when we see each other and hear, proves that there is a deep connection, a connection that is willed by Lord Krishna. It is from this place, honoring, appreciating, respecting our connection, that I wish to address you today on a subject matter which we have prepared for you. It is seeing our opportunities in difficult times. For me, the prime example of seeing an opportunity, even in difficult times, is Parikshit Maharaj. We are all familiar with his difficulty. He was cursed to die within 7 days. And he went to the Ganga. And this is quite interesting to read and hear how he reacted to this. He spoke a few verses which I would like to look up for you. But let us just appreciate. He was such a great soul, so that there was a lot of empathy for him from all over the universes. Saints came to be with him. There was Atri, Chavana, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Parashara, Vishvamitra, Angira Muni, great, great saints, and even demigods who arrived. Now, The king sat down amongst all of them, and the Bhagavatam describes him as the fortunate king. He said, "I'm very fortunate because usually a person like me, a member of the royal order, is avoided by those saints who are after the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't want to have anything to do with a person who is after money, rulership, and so on and so forth. But you have been so kind to come with me, come to me at this time." And then he did something amazing. He looked at his situation of being a person who was condemned to die with an interesting perspective, which gives you already your first answer to the question, what to do when there are difficult situations, how to recognize the unique opportunity. What he said is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse. What he says is, it was Krishna himself who has so kindly come to me, because he says, I was too attached. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only now, due to the fear, I will detach myself from the world. See, he saw these difficult situations as God sent. And he saw that now I have an opportunity to detach myself from that which is harmful for my further progress in life. Now, what he did here is psychologically described as adjusting one's expectations. If you have the expectations that you are meant to enjoy in this world, if you have the expectation that for you the world should always be a place where all your desires are fulfilled, then you must be frustrated. You need to adjust your expectations so that you can also deal with the unpleasantness, with the pain, with the disease, with the restrictions, with the misunderstandings. Krishna consciousness doesn't really mean to just go into an imaginary heaven and then become totally dysfunctional the moment something happens which is not planned in heaven. No, Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna so that you can deal with the human situation, which is totally necessary in order to live a peaceful life. Yes, it is necessary in order to live a peaceful life, to also accept in your life and be fine with it when something is not all right, because this is material life. So he adjusted his expectations. If you adjust your expectations, you can accept the situation as it is. And when you are fine with something, you don't fight with Krishna and ask the question, why Krishna did you make this in my life? You are like Parikshit Maharaj. You aspire for shelter. In the next verse he says, O Brahmanas, he addresses all the people who have come to be around him, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Gangas, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever other magical thing the Brahmana created, you know, who cursed me, bite me at once, no problem. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Yes. This shows someone who sees the opportunity. He first of all has realistic expectations in the life. He has adjusted his expectations. Then he has learned to accept what has come. Whenever you go against something which is there, you only aggravate the problem. You know, the dentist will tell you that, you know, relax, accept you are now at the dentist chair. But if you are totally paranoid, panic-demic about it, then you only make it more difficult. Only someone who's not realistic, he will find fault with the situation, and then find fault with Krishna, even the ultimate controller. Now it is very, very interesting what are Parikshit Maharaj's positive desires. He has accepted the situation as it is, because he had adjusted his expectations before. But he's not just passive. He wants something very much. And these three desires which he will speak can also be the desires of devotees in this world who want to see the opportunities in their situation. He prays, I offer again my obeisances to all you Brahmanas. Punasya bhuyat bhagavatyanante. Rati prasangas chatat ashrayeshu mahatsu yam yam upayami shrishtim maitrastu sarvata namu dvijepya. He says, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Sri Krishna. I will have association with his devotees. I want association with the devotees very much. And then, finally, I pray that my third desire is fulfilled. Let me have friendly relations with all living beings. We will come back to this prayer after some time, but for now, I just want to pause a little and tell you the three things which we must learn in difficult situations if we wish to not lament but make advancement. First of all, adjust your expectations. Second of all, accept the situation as it is. Accept it. This is the situation. Analyze it. Yes. Be aware of it. Be conscious. This is it. And then aspire for the shelter of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj is the best example. We know each other affectionately, we have gone through life together. Is there something more? More personal, more concrete, more relevant maybe at this time, which I can tell you based on my own experience, so that you can have a specific focus in this situation. And the general focus is, you know, when there is a special situation, and this is a special situation, those who study history and sociology will tell you that this is an extraordinary situation for the world. And the world won't be exactly the same. That's why it's so difficult to plan anything, because even if the immediate threat is over, you don't know how civilization is shaped afterwards. There will be for sure a recession, economical consequences. People already have, there's a lot of influence on the economy, and. But this is, if you're interested in this, you can easily Google and have all the information. I don't want to speak about this. I want to speak about really very important, very unique, very specific information. In my opinion, this time is a unique time to look at your relationships to the Vaishnavas. Jiva Goswami expresses in the book Madhava Mahotsava a unique point, which I believe I have made in maybe the last lectures I gave in Goloka Dham. So you might have heard it again, but it's worthwhile to focus again on it. He says, usually when it comes to attaining one's own goal, one ignores others. After all, it's about my goal, not about them. But those who aspire for Krishna prema act differently. They accept dependence on others who have similar goals and tastes, thus cooperating with each other. They work together, keeping in mind the goal of prema. In simple words, if you want to become Krishna conscious and develop love of Krishna, you need others who have similar goals, not who are similar to you, who have similar goals. Because you become what you are in the association and with the help of a variety of other people. A variety. You will see, it will make sense in a little moment. There is an amazing movie which I have once watched I can't tell you the name of the movie. It was sent to, by someone to me. It is based on a true experience in Spain. What had happened is that there was a family who had more children than they could feed. And they took one of the child, quite young, and brought him into a valley in Andalusia. That's a part of Spain, a wild part of Spain with forests. There was a man living in the wilderness, but soon this person died, and the little boy was all by himself. The older man had told him some survival skills, you know, where to find honey and drink the honey. But really, when he was found 10 years later, this boy had been grown up by the wolves of Andalusia. He ran like a wolf. He looked like a wolf. He ate like a wolf. He was hunting like a wolf. He had the language of a wolf. And he became known as the wolf's boy. Later, an effort was made to integrate him into human society. The mayor of the nearby town tried it, but it didn't work. The young man now escaped and ran back to live with the wolves. He became, when he was associating with the wolves in nature, like a wolf. He spoke, he felt, he acted, he practically was a wolf. So you become what you are in association with others. Therefore, when you want to become a devotee of Krishna, who has love of Krishna, what you need to do is have association with other devotees. Now, I know that some of you are disappointed in their association with devotees. I know that you have withdrawn from association. There's someone saying there's a technical problem. Can you all hear me? Go Krishna, can you hear me? Yeah. It's good. Here it's good. Yes, so very good. I can hear properly. Kanti says, and Tanya and Jivanad also. Yes, okay. Sound is nice, Madhusudan. You may have to do something with your computer. Maybe give it a little pet, you know, encourage the computer or you know, better than me. Let's go back to the subject. I know if you look for a friend in devotee association, then you need to look for three qualities. He should be like-minded, the devotee. The devotee should be affectionately turning to you. He should have a similar taste like you have in Krishna consciousness. And if possible, he could be a little bit more advanced. You know, look at your friends, look around, make a mental inventory. Do you have someone who is like-minded? Think. Second question, is that person affectionate towards you? Does he accept you the way you are? Think. And then, is he more advanced than you, or can you, in his association, make advancement? Is it favorable for you moving forward and leaving the unnecessary things which are harmful behind? No? These are questions you should ask when you look for a friend. But, my dear devotees, if you only surround yourselves with friends, with people who are like-minded, affectionate towards you, there will be a few things which you won't learn. If you want to learn to be resilient, means internally strong, put even necessary borders up. Or if you want that your own bad qualities, which are usually mirrored to you in the association of someone else, because you very often attract those people who can show you what you still need to learn. Your association is like a mirror. Then you should not be so picky and choosy. You should associate with those who have your goal, even if they are not exactly similar. If you only surround yourselves with your own group of people, you will never grow beyond that. Krishna conscious association is different than what we are used in the material field. In the material field, we do not accept people who don't see things so likely. But in devotee association, that should not be a problem. It is not a problem to have also association with others if you enter a space of vastness in you. My dear devotees, I see now that comments come up, questions come in the comment session. I'm really grateful for this. But see, I have something to present. And when I suggest that when it's over what I present, then I will answer questions, and I will ask Gaurahari, who is the host of this conference, to maybe make notes of your comments. See, I will take off my glasses, and then I can't even read the comments. So Gaurahari, someone needs to write down the questions and then post them to me afterwards. For now, I just request you to listen very carefully, because this is revolutionary news which you will hear. Why does Parikshit Maharaj says he wants friendship to all devotees and then friendly relationships to everyone? Because it's important to be to have relationships also to people, also devotees outside of your circle. You all remember Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was treated in a very unfair way. Although he had the right to the throne, his father liked his second wife, who was younger than his first wife more, and his second wife wanted her child to sit on the throne and not Dhruva, and made political intrigues against Dhruva. So much so that Dhruva was rejected by his father. Now, at least he was not allowed to sit on his lap. Do you know what this means to a child? To be rejected by the father, to be ignored by the father and mother. It's like death. You can quarrel with the child, you can correct the child, you can whatever is done in a responsible education, but if you ignore the child, that's like putting a knife in his heart or her heart. So that was done to Dhruva. Dhruva was a Kshatriya by nature. You know, he didn't, a Kshatriya, do not hurt a Kshatriya. Do not mess around with a Kshatriya. He showed the typical reactions of first of all, he cried, but then he wanted to take action. He wanted a kingdom bigger than that of his father. He wanted to rule the whole universe, even bigger than Brahma. And he said, you can't deal unjustly with me. I will get back to and correct the situation. So he went for that in the forest. He wanted to meet Krishna or the Lord there and asked him to help him. And when someone is serious to meet the Lord, then the Lord sends him a devotee in the life. And this he did. He sent Dhruva Maharaj to, he sent Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. And Narada Muni preached to Dhruva Maharaj. And one of the things he said was, you need to learn three relationships. Not just one, not just the people who you like. And this is what he said. Every person should act like this. If you want, yes. When he meets a person who is more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, he should feel joyful. Oh, someone who is more qualified. And he should not envy him. When one meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. What this means is, when someone is not so qualified, you should feel, oh, let me understand him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, let us not feel contempt towards other, you know, towards him or her. Contempt means Missachtung, Verurteilung, Judgment, contempt. What is contempt? Go Krishna, what is contempt? He should not feel contempt. Contempt. That is, put him down, you know. No. And when one meets someone who's equal, one should make friendship with such a person and not feel competitive. You know, I want to do better than that person. No. You know, when we meet someone who is more advanced, we sometimes think, they can't be, you know, can't be. We feel envy. No, feel joyful. Be supportive. When we meet someone who is less qualified, we think, we don't want to have anything to do with them. Nothing. We feel some contempt. You know? And when we are with someone who is on our level, we like to compete with them. I want to do better than you. No, we should make friendship with such a person. Narada Muni says, in this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Na tapir abhibhuyate. Na not tapai by tribulations. Abhibhuyate means becomes affected. If you want to be free from misery, learn to associate with three types of people. Your friends, that is easy. With people who are more advanced, yes, and also with those who are not so advanced. This helps you to live a happy life in this material world. If you want to read what I've just repeated to you in your own reading time, you can look it up in Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 34. My dear devotees, I'm almost finished and then I'm open to your questions. How will you be able to deal with those people who you feel neutral feelings to, or those people who are maybe displeasing you, who get on your nerves? I have seen this in Goloka Dham. Some of the devotees retire, they go back because they somehow cannot relate so nice with people. I guarantee you, when the question and answer session opens, I will get many questions. Maharaj, fine lecture, thank you, but how do I deal with disturbing people? Even people who are devotees. Now I request you to listen very carefully, because I will tell you something which I had to learn. As those who had been my servants or are my servants know, I am by nature a person who is extremely sensitive. And I have suffered in my life of Krishna consciousness often for being not really understood, because and I have been attacked. And I have met people who, so many people who are not in in the circle of people I would meet regularly. And I had to learn this the hard way, because I was overreacting and I hurt people back and so on. And I am talking now as someone who has learned the hard way. I want to share with you a lesson how we can not only learn to deal with people, but how we can benefit from the association of devotees who are maybe in the difficult category, where it's difficult for us. My dear devotees, you need to come to a place in your consciousness which we could call vastness. What is this? When I have a glass like this, let me see if you can see it. Yes, this is half a liter comes into this. And I put, let us say, a teaspoon of salt into this glass. Oh, it will feel very, oh, a very bad taste. However, if I have a big container, let us say a bathing tub, if I put a teaspoon of salt in there, I will most probably not even notice it. So when my consciousness is small, when it's shrunken, if it is very me and mine concentrated, then if something comes in there which is a little different, someone comes, I will notice it very, very much, and I will become disturbed, disappointed, and withdraw. But if I can expand my consciousness into a bigger dimension, then, my dear devotees, it's very, very easy for me to responsibly, even encouragingly, deal with people who are different from me and to profit from their association. Yes, to profit from their association. I'm thinking of Mother Kunti. In the Bhagavatam, you will most probably not find a person who has gone through more tribulations than Kunti. At the very, you know, in the middle of her life, the greatest tragedy which can happen for a mother happened to her. That is, two of their sons were fighting to the death, Arjuna and Karna. And finally, Kunti had to hear how Arjuna had killed Kunti's son and his older brother, Karna. That was like a spear in her heart. Some of you are maybe mothers, or you have thought of becoming mothers. Just imagine two of your children fighting to the death until finally one of them kills the other. It is excruciating painful. There were other pains in Kunti's life which I could tell you, but we don't have the time here. At the end, when Krishna leaves Hastinapur after a long and affectionate visit, Kunti understands that she has suffered all this time because her consciousness was too small. It was only fixed on her family relationships. And she had forgotten that one relationship which opens and widens the consciousness. I want to read you her beautiful prayer. It's beautiful. I hope I will not cry. It's so good. Tvayi me. Tvayi me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakre. Ratim udvahatat adha gange vogam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganga forever flows into the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Similarly, Dhruva's mother had advised her son when the Dhruva came crying to her after his father had rejected him. She, this very saintly mother of Dhruva, advised her son, "You came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother. But I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna, is so kind to his devotees that if you go to Krishna, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone else fails to mitigate one's misery, Krishna is there to help the devotees. This is found in the Bhagavatam in one beautiful comment where Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 22. You came to me crying, disappointed, insulted. But I can't do anything good for you. Krishna, however, is kind to his devotees. That if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. I think when we hear this, we already feel our heart is widening, it's expanding, our consciousness becoming vast. And with this consciousness, it will be possible for us to deal with the realities of the world. If you run away from the association of devotees, if you stop your cooperation, your service, your attendance of kirtans, lectures, sangha, you will have for a small moment maybe peace from that disturbing person or that disturbing situation. But you will not have learned to deal with the reality of life in this world. There is no safe place. And those who make such heavy endeavors to meditate, to get inner peace, when they come out of this state of calmness, they are easily again influenced by disturbing elements which come. It happens every time. I always hear devotees, when they leave the retreats and they go back, they say, I cannot keep what I learned, because they are overwhelmed by the realities of this world. But if you learn to expand your consciousness away from me, I and mine, and our circle, our family, but you deal especially with the devotees who have the same goals as you, if you cooperate in the mission of Krishna consciousness to strengthen the community of devotees with your personal presence and contribution, at that time you will be given something which is more than just temporary calmness, temporary well-being. You will be able to please Krishna, because he wants that his devotees in this world work together despite differences. Which, if there wouldn't be any differences, there would be no life. And we need to learn to deal with them from a place of expanded consciousness, vastness of consciousness, then you will be peaceful. Then it will not be that artificial, or let us better call it, that temporary state of inner calm, but you will be inner strong. You will have an inner strength, it's called in English. And that will be very, very good. My dear devotees, those who have listened to this class have, I think, seen what I wanted to say. In the beginning of the class, I was talking about dealing with finding the opportunity by adjusting your expectations. No? Remember the three A's? Adjust your expectations, accept and aspire for Krishna. And I wanted to make this a little bit more concrete, a little bit more relevant, a little bit more timely by talking about the challenge which we find in Goloka Dham. A challenge which I'm very aware of because I lived on the project, and it was said that in the beginning when we purchased the project, if the members or those who are connected with this project can just learn to cooperate, it will do wonderful things. Now we are talking about building our project to host more people in a nice way, in a nice surroundings. There's various building activities going on. But let us, as members of the community, and I'm not speaking of the temple devotees, I'm speaking of all those who have moved near to Goloka Dham in the hope to advance in Krishna consciousness. You came there for a reason. You didn't go to Paris or London, or Frankfurt. You came there because of Radha Madan Mohan and the hope to build a very nice community. Don't give up. This is a good hope. Remember Jiva Goswami, who said, those who wish for prema or Krishna consciousness, they don't ignore others. What was the quotation? I have it just here, I think. Yes. They practice dependence on others with similar goals and tastes. Thus cooperating with each other, they work together, keeping in mind the goal of prema. They expand their consciousness. They make it vast. And then when something comes in, it's an enhancement. It is an ornamentation. It is not a problem. We need to learn this as devotees of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I pray that you take this as your opportunity, that you think about it, discuss it with devotees. Please, for making the point, I had to speak a little clear and maybe strong, but very deeply in my heart, I feel so much love and admiration for you. Whew. Just recently, we heard that there will be new buildings in the future, and maybe there will be a guest room. I feel bad to always come and take rooms from devotees so on. I mean, I feel also ecstatic to be there. I really think Goloka Dham is a shelter. I have never forgotten the time where this was my base. I think it is Krishna. Yeah. Krishna's place. Good. We have 5 more minutes. Maybe we extend it to 10 minutes, but not much longer. We will see if there are any questions. I will be brief and concise. Gaurahari, do you have questions?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I had to stop the sound here so that. Sorry. So there are a few questions. Madhusudan has one question, but Govinda has a question. I think I could summarize more or less both of the questions, because one of the question that comes, the main, the core of the question is that because of those restrictions for the coronavirus, the temple is not open, or one can come just to take darshan at some times of the day, but one cannot really associate with devotees. We are supposed to stay at home. So the devotees are wondering how do we work out this association process in the situation in which we are right now?
Good. In the well, all what we know is that the restrictions are becoming more and more opened, and you just have to see. I think it is good if we respect this, because after all, we set a bad example maybe if we don't do, but there is a lot you can do. Just accept and work within the restrictions. I have been just now in the Nishingha, what is it called? Singhachalam, and devotees from outside come and do their deity worship and so on. It is. We are part of the same. The word in German is Hausstand. You know, we belong to the community, and there are special rules for religious communities where it's even okay to come to the Gottesdienst. The churches are open, and I had studied this very carefully, because when I came to Nrisimha Chaturthi, I did not wish to break rules, because afterwards the temple would get in difficulties, you know, if there are online presentations or so on. But no, there is a lot of openness, you know, which you can do as a visitor to the temple, doing service and so on. There is a lot you can do, and you need to study that. If you want to know, Gaur Mohan he invited me, and I said, you have to study what is all right, and he did this. He and there are many things which are possible, like coming, supporting, and so on and so forth. That is possible, I know. Mm-hmm. Yes, next one. But I was talking about the principle, Madhusudan and everyone, that is to be willing to open your consciousness so that you are willing to cooperate even with the temple. I know all the buildings which we do, everything which we do will only serve the purpose if we as devotees build a strong community. And somehow you have to figure it out. Maybe you have to still wait for one week or so. It will now loosen and open very quickly. I was more speaking on working inside, so that you are willing and ready to do that when it's possible. Mm-hmm. Good, Gaurahari. Next question, please.
Chat, but I will take the opportunity to ask one of the question. When you speak about resetting our expectations, I think that was a powerful point. Do you have any way how to do that, how to reset our expectation? Is that step one, step two, or how do we do to reset the expectations?
Very nice question, and it will be the last question, because then we want to go off the chat, or of the, not chat, what is it called, the Zoom conference. To adjust the expectation means to, in step one, to first of all connect with the situation as it is. Observe more or less like a video camera would observe, without judging, without commenting on it, without just taking it in. Right? That's the first situation, first step, I would say. Then, before you react and now do something, pause, go a little bit in the distance, and think from a non-reactive perspective. What is that? That's a perspective where you are just watching from outside, without becoming emotionally involved, ohne also emotional daran teilzunehmen oder emotional darauf zu reagieren. Without becoming emotionally involved, you think about what would be a wise response to the situation, no? And then you would go by that. I would like to give an example. I will use an example from the Kami world, because then you can understand more clearly what I'm talking about. Imagine a man is going in good moods home. He's driving home after he has worked. Then on the and he's full of happiness. He will come home, he will eat his favorite salad, maybe. Afterwards, before, he will take a shower, then eat the salad. Then he will meet his family, have good discussions, maybe make an evening walk through the forest with the family, and then in the evening, later come home, read a little bit more in his favorite book, and then go and rest. So on the way home, he's in good moods. Wow, I'm going home, the day of work is over. He gets a phone call from his wife, and the wife says, I forgot to tell you, but this evening my mother celebrates her 50th birthday. We have to go and be there as a family. And he thinks, oh no, my stepmother hates me. I hate my stepmother. And all his good mood is destroyed. A moment ago he was very happy. Now he is just totally unhappy. He's disturbed, upset. Oh no, I don't want to see my stepmother. And a difficult evening is that. Then, what should he do? Adjust his real expectations. This is what it means, family life. My wife has a mother, and yes, we have to show up, otherwise everything becomes difficult. And accept it. Yes, I'm in this situation. I have to go there. And then think, maybe I can do something so that the evening will be pleasant. Maybe I bring some flowers or some I don't know, you know, I'm not so experienced in such situations, but maybe I can make it a good conversation. I cannot, maybe I should not come from a place of being disturbed, and I really don't want to be there. I want to walk in the forest with my children and, you know, and so on. Yes, so that would be. So step one, Gaurahari, you wanted steps. Look at the situation as it is, neutrally like a camera. Then stop your emotional involvement, the way you always reacted by habit, and then finally come to a wise way of acting. These are three steps for you. You are like me, a very systematic person. Good, my dear devotees. I thank you for staying on for these extra 6 minutes. I was very pleased to discuss with you some of my recommendations, how to see your opportunities. Please, if you wish, to just go again through the through how Parikshit Maharaj dealt with the situation. You can go to his four prayers, actually. They are in the first canto, chapter 19, text 13. Very relevant for our situation. I wish you all the best, and Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna.